Beloved, now take your Bibles and turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 14, and we'll read through verse 17. And before we read the word of the Lord, let's pray to our God and ask His blessing upon us as we hear the reading and preaching of His word. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we do again come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who speaks to us here, for He is the Word. And we praise You and ask that You would be merciful to us now, that You would be gracious to us and not give us what we deserve, but give us what we don't deserve, and that is Your favor in Christ. So, Father, we ask that You would use this, Your word, to the salvation and sanctification of souls, for the building up of the body, and the equipping of saints for ministry. These things we do ask in Your Son's name. Amen. Zechariah, second to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. This is the word which is inerrant, infallible. It's the word of God. So give your attention to it. Then the Lord will appear over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning. And the Lord God will blow the trumpet and will march in the storm winds of the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them, and they will devour and trample on the sling stones. And they will drink and be boisterous as with wine. And they will be filled with a sacrificial, like a sacrificial basin, drenched like the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of His people. For they are as the stones of a crown sparkling in His land. For what comeliness and beauty will be theirs. Grain will make the young men flourish, and new wine the virgins. And that is God's word to us this morning. Now, we've seen Yahweh's promise of salvation and blessing to His people, but we've seen in the same context Yahweh's promise that He is coming in judgment. And here this morning we're dealing with the role of the saints, of God's people, in judgment. That is, that Yahweh saves His people through judgment. And the Lord does this in at least four ways. The first that we will consider is that Yahweh does all the fighting. Yahweh does all the fighting. Verse 14. And the Lord will appear over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning, and the Lord God will blow the trumpet, and will march in the storm winds of the south. Yahweh has promised to these people and to us, beloved, that He will protect us from all His and our enemies. But Yahweh comes as the great commander here of His army and goes forth and sounds the trumpet Himself. He's the great leader of His people, leading the saints into battle. That's the picture. And remember now that when Jesus Christ was on trial before Pontius Pilate, He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But My kingdom is not from this world." Thus, it is not the task of the church today to bear the sword to defend the church. He is not sending the church to subdue His enemies in a physical and forceful way. Nevertheless, Jesus constantly describes the church as ultimately having victory over the world. You realize that one day when Jesus returns, all of His people will be raised with Him, and the saints of God will march forth as the Son of God goes out toward that picture in Revelation. Now, something like that will take place, and He will subdue all His and our enemies under His feet. And whether we're speaking of the final judgment or our present time, we have one common factor. Yahweh does our fighting for us. Reading through Ezekiel and the scene at the end of that book of Gog and Magog, we learn that there in the great battle between God's people and the world, there's one person fighting the enemy. So Yahweh is the only one fighting. And so we see in our text, Yahweh describing himself as the one who does the fighting for us. He appears, his arrow, it says, goes forth like lightning. He sounds the trumpet. He marches forth. The last phrase about the storm winds would be like any of us today talking about Tornado Alley, right? And there were in Judah to the south a place known to have bad storm winds that would bring great destruction. And so we have Tornado Alley for us, which is kind of where we're at, and to the south, which brings often great destruction. So Yahweh is saying here that he's going to go forth in this way. And now this is meant to be terrifying. If you're standing outside of the mercies of the Lord today, if you're not resting upon the mercies of Jesus Christ, just as at the times as you turn on the news and you see the tornadoes go through cities like Joplin or any other town that you've heard of recently, and the town is leveled. So, in the same way, Yahweh is describing His coming. Those who are not His people will be judged. They'll be leveled by His wrath. He is coming with all the saints, and He will do all the fighting. What side, then, are you on this day? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you in the path of the tornado? The Lord God Almighty. Would you want to be in the direct path of an F5 tornado? Do you want to be in the path of such a Lord as this, going out to destruction? Wouldn't you rather rest on the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ and have life forever? And be behind the tornado? Be with the tornado? And whether it is the persecutions or sufferings that we're encountering in this life, or the struggle within our souls concerning sin, or the battle with the evil one, here Yahweh is promising you that He does all the fighting. Will you not rest in Him? Yahweh does all the fighting. The second thing we see is that Yahweh defends. Yahweh defends. He defends us. Verse 15. The Lord of hosts will defend them. He will protect them. And He goes on, and they will devour and trample on the sling stones. In the Hebrew, the original language, the picture that is being presented is supposed to be shocking. It might not be very shocking in English, and yet it's supposed to be shocking. We lose that. But it's supposed to be shocking that God's people will do this. The church will devour and trample on the sling stones. The picture is the church devouring the enemies like a roaring lion. Using that word devour. And you picture the lion going forth and tearing the prey and having the flesh and the blood dripping from its teeth. And that's the image that Yahweh is unveiling to us. What is your relationship to the world as a Christian today? When you look upon those who are God's enemies and stand against Christ and the gospel, how are you to relate to them? How do you view them? Hopefully you would answer according to Scripture. We are to love our enemies. We are to do good to those who hate us and pray for the world. Those who are outside of Christ, even those who cause us harm and persecute us. We're to be compassionate as Christ has been compassionate to us. We must plead with the Lord constantly and take every means at our disposal, as Paul talks about in Corinthians, to seek and save the lost. Because Christ seeks and saves the lost. And yet the picture in the beginning of verse 15 is no force can oppose the church. Why? Because the Lord defends them. They will devour all their enemies and persecutors, and those enemies will be trampled on the ground as an army of God marches over them. And just notice that it's God's people doing this. It's not Christ calling you, though, to personal vengeance. This is not Christ calling the churches or Christian nations to take up the sword for Christ, as they have done in the past. And yet this describes the ultimate victory that Christ will have. and you, God's people, in Christ will have in Him. And at the end of the world. And there's a story that I heard. I'm not good at stories. You know this. Most of you know this. But there's a story that I heard of John Gerstner. Most of you know who John Gerstner is or heard of his name. He was a professor and he was teaching his seminary class, and a student asked him a question, which is all relevant to us here today, for we know the situation like this. And the student asked him, when we enter into heaven, the Bible says we will have no sorrow, no tears, right? You know this. He asked that question. The Bible says we'll have no sorrow, no tears. My 80-year-old grandmother doesn't know the Lord. She's a sweet woman. Would you say if she perishes, would you say if she perishes because she doesn't know Jesus and she enters into hell and falls under God's wrath, and I'm aware of that fact, that I will have no sorrow in heaven? That's a tough question to answer. And yet it's really easy because Dr. Gerstner in the scripture is clear. Dr. Gerstner replied, young man, I tell you, in heaven, you will rejoice because your grandmother is in hell. And that's exactly what scripture teaches us. It should shock you to hear that. We ought not to be cold and dispassionate in our relationship to others, but we need to recognize this, that when Christ comes in vengeance, the saints will actually sit with Him in heaven. They will sit with Him on His throne and march forth to war with Him against His and their enemies, and there's a joy that you will have in heaven when the day of wrath comes. This is not because we delight in God punishing sinners. This doesn't lead us to say in vengeance, that it's okay for us to have vengeance, and that we can hate the wicked and not show compassion to those who hate us. That's the exact opposite of what is being taught here. And what is being shown is that when Christ comes in vengeance against His and our enemies, we will love His glory as we should love it. His saints sharing in the victory of Yahweh, devouring their enemies like a lion, trampling over them like slingstones. And then here's the bloody picture. They will be like, and they will drink and be boisterous as with wine. And that word boisterous there literally is the word also that describes a lion. They will drink and they will roar with wine. It's not a picture of the saints living in drunkenness as they finally have victory, but rather like one who has been drinking, as we know wine.